This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse. Whoa.
I'm waking up, I feel it in my bones.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your daily dose of deprogramming. My name is JD, and this is the Red Pill Report's radio broadcast. Today is the 17th day of November. It is Monday. It's happened once again. You always think it's going to happen to somebody else, and then you wake up, and it's Monday, and there you are. So here we are, once again, back together, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot thank you enough. Those of you out there who are joining us on the internet or joining us via radio out in Denver. Super, super thankful that you guys continue to tune in every day. This is a habit that we are working on here, doing this every single day live Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock until noon central. We spend the first hour going over the news of the day. Mondays are extra special because obviously a lot of things happen over the weekend, and this weekend was no exception. I hope all of you had a wonderful weekend wherever you are. It's still frighteningly cold here. I think winter has arrived, so I'm moving into hibernation mode at this point. I need to preface today's show, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit here, because we have been striving continuously to raise the bar every time we do a show. Every time we have a guest, we try and bring in a bit better guest than we've had before, and we try and keep the quality of our guests to be super duper high. And I feel like we've been doing that really, really well. But today, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be another high watermark. And I know I've probably said that every day for like the last week and a half. But today, we're going to have Greg Morse on the show. Now, a lot of you probably are following V the Gorilla Economist and also Michael Rosecliffe's work. Greg was on V's show on Friday with the beginning of his exposure of what I can really only classify as probably the most important story that has ever been broken in the United States of America. And I don't say that to be, you know, sensationalist or to try and exaggerate. But honestly, the work that Greg and his research team have done and the dots that these guys have connected with the documents that they have, with the information that they have, honestly is going to make Iran-Contra affair look like a day trip to Disney World at this point. So Greg is going to come on the show to essentially re-clarify the things that he talked about on Friday with V, and then to dive more deeply into the issue today. I have to say also that our own staff reporters are working closely with Greg as we try and flush the details of this story out. And one of those articles is up today at redpillreports.com, written by our good in-house staff reporter Robert Smith. Just did an absolutely fantastic work of bringing all this together so that you guys can understand what it is that we're talking about. But essentially, I'll just lay it out for you guys. Greg and his research team have traced all of the money, the layers of criminality that exist in this specific topic are like nothing I've ever seen before. But they have traced the money from the mortgage fraud, all the bailout money. They've been able to show that it has gone to non-governmental agencies. They've used that money to foster terrorism. They've used that money to topple governments, to put in juntas. We're talking about the most criminal of criminal of the criminals at this point, guys. This is going to be, as I said, probably the largest story ever broken on the internet, and probably will touch more of you out there personally. Those of you who think you own your own homes, I want you guys to stay tuned at the 11 o'clock hour. I want you to get your friends involved. This is a huge, huge story. And the other side of this, of the coin in this particular situation is that we have a plan. Greg, his research team, they have a plan, you guys. We have the ability to take this information and transfer it directly into action, which is not something that you're ever going to get in any other situation. I mean, there are situations out there, I guess, where you could say, okay, this could be a path that we could take, or that could be a path. The path is laid out. Greg is essentially already won. The work has been done. Now it's about building an army of people who are going to stand up and say, enough. You know, we've seen the lies, we've seen the criminality, and we're tired of it because we are the ones who are being fleeced as a result of it. And I cannot thank Greg and his team enough for doing the work and putting himself out there. I mean, this is a dangerous, dangerous subject matter, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just something you're going to talk about over brunch and never think about again. This is decision time. We are at a position right now where you need to decide between complacency and comfort and actually making a decision to protect your children and to protect your grandchildren. So again, we are very fortunate here at Red Pill Reports to be teamed up and working closely with Greg Morse. Cannot tell you guys enough how important this conversation we're going to have at 11 o'clock is, and I'll dig into Robert's article a little bit more during the economic news as a little bit more of a preface towards getting all of us on the same page with Greg when he shows up at 11. So, again, this is going to be the biggest story ever on the internet, hands down, no questions asked. We also have a plan to make the changes that we need to have take place to put these criminals in their place once and for all. Again, cannot tell you guys enough how important this is and how just absolutely privileged those of us here at Red Pill are, in terms of working with Greg. Just some of the best information that we've ever come across, and one of the most stand-up guys we've ever come across either. So very, very happy to be talking about that in the 11 o'clock hour. Do stay tuned for that. Let's move into some national news right now, because as I mentioned earlier, we're all on this crazy rock traveling around the sun together, and for some strange reason, we haven't gotten our act together over the weekend. You always think, maybe Saturday everybody will take a day off, weekend off. Nope. Horrible things happening over the weekend. If you buy into the terrorist threat kind of motif, and this, I guess, could be considered good news. I don't buy into that, so for me, it's just news. But the Islamic State executioner, known as Jihadi John, is said to have been wounded by a U.S.-led airstrike on the Iraqi-Syrian border, according to a report, and this report is coming out of the New York Times. And the masked terrorist, obviously talking about Jihadi John, suspected of carrying out the beheadings of Western prisoners, including American journalist James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, neither of which I believe, but you can take that as my own editorial. He was apparently injured in a bombing raid on November 8th, according to the Mail Online. So, let's see. An unnamed nurse apparently was cited saying Jihadi John was among several of the Islamic State leaders wounded in the airstrike in the western town of Al-Qam. The cold-blooded killer was among a group of high-level ISIS leaders meeting at an underground bunker targeted by the U.S. and Iraqi bomber jets. Jihadi John, who spoke with a British accent in the ISIS-related snuff videos, was said to have narrowly escaped with his life, and he and others were treated at the Al-Qam General Hospital and then driven to Syria, according to this nurse and according to the report from the Mail. So is that guy still out beheading people? Probably. Is he a CIA operative? Yeah, I think so, or Mossad or something like that. But he narrowly escaped death, unfortunately. So there you go with that. And in a related story, there has been a new video released of a beheading. And apparently the gentleman who was beheaded in this video is Mr. Peter Kassig, Now, Peter Kasich, this is an unusual situation to me. He's 26 years old. He was ex-army. He apparently converted to Islam. He changed his name to Abdul Rahman. So apparently his conversion and the fact that he was there helping refugees when he was captured last year didn't really do anything to save him. And as a side note, the video that they put out is exceptionally graphic. They have got the message that no one was believing, the fake ones. And so they did either the best CGI and makeup work that I've ever seen. I'll let you guys know that I'm not somebody who wants to watch stuff like this. I try and stay very sensitized to violence so that when I see a police officer beating my friend, I recognize that that's the option, you know, the opportunity for me to get involved. So I think if you're dumbing yourself down in terms of being sensitized to violence, you're going to forget in those positions where you need to actually be doing something to help people around you. You'll just sit there and, you know, snap pictures with your phone. So I don't watch stuff like Hostel or Saw or any of those kind of movies, but I did obviously watch part of this video because there was so much rumor about the fact that it looked real, and from the portions of it that I saw, I do have to admit that it does look real in this situation. Now, does that mean that ISIS is not being run by the CIA? Probably couldn't make that claim just based on the video. I also wonder about Peter Kasich here, being 26, ex-army, and somebody who's now converted to Islam, or at least putting forth the idea that he is converted to Islam, and the fact that they still captured and killed him anyway leads me to believe, looking at this guy, I'm thinking CIA. He looks like a CIA guy, I'm just saying. So take that, put that in your crock pot, and fire it up, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what's going on there. A report from the Times of India is talking about ISIS, also saying that we probably have underestimated the size of the Islamic State, which is obviously a Sunni radical organization, which may have raised an army of 2 million fighters, according to a Kurdish leader. That number, 2 million, is 7 or 8 times more than Western intelligence estimates, which have been putting the number somewhere around 31,000 fighters. And of course, this is the chief of staff for the Kurdish president talking here. And Hussein also speculates that the CIA and U.S. intelligence agencies may have only been speaking about the core fighters in estimating the jihadist numbers. And he says that the ability of the IS to attack on many widely separated fronts in Iraq and Syria at this time is pretty much great evidence to suggest that its numbers have swollen well beyond the initial reports from the CIA and U.S. intelligence. He also estimates that IS rules a third of each of Iraq and Syria, and each of them have a population of 10 to 12 million people, which is about the same size as Britain, which is, he says, this gives jihadists a large pool of potential recruits. And he's talking about hundreds of thousands of fighters because they were able to mobilize young Arab men in the territory that they've already successfully taken. And this huge number of the IS underlies how difficult it's going to be to eliminate it, even with U.S.-led airstrikes. So there's still a lot going on in the Middle East in terms of ISIS right now. And then even in more ISIS-related news, confirmation now that Egypt's deadliest terrorist group, which has now pledged allegiance to the Islamic State jihadists, branded the regime of Egyptian President Abdel Fattah as Zionist collaborators. So now, not only have we funded this militant group in Egypt, that militant group now has decided that the standing military in Egypt are all essentially Zionist collaborators, and they are now going to be working to remove the government from Egypt, and are now wholly and completely in line with ISIS. So that's great. We've given them, you know, tons and tons of money and weapons, and now they're working against us. Par for the course, ladies and gentlemen. And let's move on to some of the stuff that's going on in Israel right now. No real respite from the violence that took place last week in Jerusalem, and it seems as if more people are calling out Israel as the main instigator of the unrest that's occurring in Jerusalem right now. And over the weekend, Jordan's president actually jumped on the bandwagon, saying that Israel's aggressive actions around Jerusalem's Temple Mount compound are impairing the U.S.-led efforts to combat the Islamic State group. And, of course, this is King Abdullah II of Jordan. And his this is him talking to the United States Secretary of State, John Kerry. Palestinian news agency Mon reported that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to meet with Abdullah in Amman in the coming days to discuss steps to reduce tensions in East Jerusalem and elsewhere in Israel. The two already met with Kerry last Thursday. Here's an idea. Stop occupying a country that you have no right to occupy. How's that, Netanyahu? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, buddy. Get out of their country and let's come up with a two-state solution, because it is not about Judaism, ladies and gentlemen. It is about Zionism, and there's a large difference, and I hope that I'm not offending anybody out there who might be pro-Israel, but I can absolutely assure you there is nothing pro-Jewish about what Israel is doing in Palestine right now. So that's my little editorial on that. Let's move on to the Ukraine. More unrest happening in the Ukraine on both sides of the coin, both from Russia and from President Poroshenko on the Ukrainian side. Poroshenko issued a decree on Saturday ordering the withdrawal of all state services from rebel-held eastern regions. And this further acknowledgement that the Kremlin-backed statelets are effectively breaking away, and we're obviously talking about Luhansk and Donetsk and those regions that surround them. This latest move towards splintering the war-torn ex-Soviet country comes after fresh clashes between government troops and rebel fighters claimed at least five civilian lives, including those of two children, despite a nominal ceasefire that has failed to end the bloodshed. The order from Poroshenko covers services such as schools, hospitals, and emergency services. It was announced just over a week after Kiev implemented passport controls around pro-Russian separatist areas in the east, as well as the end of state payments, including pensions in the area. And this affects some 5.2 million people who are living in the areas now affected by this conflict in eastern Ukraine, according to the United Nations, and centered around major cities such as Donetsk and Lugansk, where rebels have declared breakaway states. So probably not going to get easier for the people of eastern Ukraine right now. Again, we see a huge number of people being displaced. We saw a large number, over 4,000 people that were killed in the violence in eastern Ukraine just since this summer. And apparently, it's just going to get worse and worse over there. So my hearts and prayers go out to the people in eastern Ukraine that did not want to have anything to do with what they find themselves in now. You know, being essentially caught between a rock and a hard place, where you have a NATO-supported junta, you know, on your right, and the old frightening Soviet Union on the left. I just I can't imagine what I would do in a situation like that, but that is what's going on right now. A story coming out of the International Business Times of Australia talking about Russia's strategical nuclear weapons capability being far more advanced than the United States, and apparently it will continue to lead the game with its new generation of missiles, according to a comprehensive report from the Russian political newspaper Pravda. Indeed, if World War III does erupt, Vladimir Putin will win hands down, according to this report. The report, titled Russia Prepares Nuclear Surprise for NATO, claims that Russia was able to amass its massive nuclear power because the U.S. had been dismissive and neglectful of achieving innovations in decades after winning the Cold War. Specifically, the U.S. had closed off the possibility of developing high-precision, long-range weapons that could eradicate enemies even without coming into direct contact. But Russia never stopped innovating despite much criticism and the more accepted notion that the country is weak and the West is superior. At this point, Russia has long-range cruise missiles of a new generation that will soon to be deployed on submarines in the Black Sea and missile ships of the Caspian Flotilla. And not only that, Russia's tactical nuclear weapons are far more superior to that of NATO's, according to this report. NATO member countries have only 260 tactical weapons, and the U.S. has 200 bombs with an overall capacity of about 18 megatons, located in Germany, Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Turkey. France has 60 atomic bombs, as outlined by the report. Russia, according to conservative estimate, has 5,000 pieces of different classes of tactical nuclear weapons, from warheads to torpedoes, and also aerial and artillery heads. So, of course, you know, this report's coming out of Russia, so you have to take it with a grain of salt. They could be beating their own chest a little bit there. But do we really want to risk it? I don't think so, and especially given the things that we learned about Putin's sidestep of World War III. We learned about all that with Michael Rosecliffe on Friday. I think that it's pretty substantially important to recognize the fact now that Putin has won. He has checkmated the world. He has completely gone rogue, and we're all in uncharted territories right now. But I'm kind of enthused by it, to be honest. I'm a little bit optimistic that Vlad may actually be the grand peacemaker of the world. He seems to be on a path that was corroborated by Michael Rosecliffe that could see the removal of war as an instrument to propel the velocity of money. And with that, we will see the fall of the Rothschild banking dynasty. And I couldn't be more excited about that. And I hope we don't have to go through a global nuclear war to get there. I hope that Putin has got more aces up his sleeve, but I do suspect that he does. Leaders from the G20 group of nations agreed on Sunday to boost flagging global growth, tackle climate change, and crack down on tax avoidance. But ties between the West and Russia plummeted to new lows over the crisis in Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin actually left the G20 early from Brisbane as the U.S. President Barack Obama accused Russia of invading Ukraine, and Britain warned of a possible frozen conflict in Europe. So essentially, Putin showed up at the G20 summit, got a few sidebars together with the BRICS nations, and decided that they were probably going to be just fine. And Putin probably just decided to leave, doesn't really want to hear any more garbage about Ukraine. And they cited that he needed to go take some rest because the trip had taken a lot out of him. I think he's probably just fed up. And again, I think he probably knows that he's won at this point. So there you go. What's interesting also about this is some of the things that Obama said during his little speech. Pack your bags, we're going for an ironic trip right now. As Obama says, Russia's isolation was unavoidable. He says, we would prefer a Russia that is fully integrated with the global economy, aka under the thumb of the Rothschild banking dynasties. But we are also very firm on the need to uphold core international principles, aka principles of the Rothschild International Banking Dynasty. But you don't invade other countries or finance proxies and support them in ways that break up a country. I'm sorry, I almost can't read that whole thing. You don't invade other countries or finance proxies and support them in ways that break up a country and its mechanisms for democratic elections. Ukraine comes to mind, Obama. It's just the short memory of these guys. I wonder if maybe he's just forgotten about the junta that we installed in Ukraine. Who knows? Probably not important. You know, that was 6 months ago, so it probably doesn't matter now. But, wow, talk about irony. Hello, Pot. My name is Kettle. You're so black. Wow. Good times. The Pope has said Italy's immigrant tensions are a social emergency. There are a lot of issues happening in Italy right now, so much so that the Pope has come out on Sunday describing violent attacks on refugees in Rome as symptomatic of a social emergency, and are calling upon leaders of Rome to address these issues. Again, I think we see the ugly head of multiculturalism coming around full circle. You know, part of the plan with a global government is to increase multiculturalism to a point where national identities get skewed. And then once you have a population full of people who don't relate to one national identity or another, it's easier then to remove those borders and to get us into situations like the Security and Prosperity Partnership or the EU, for an example. And I think that's what Rome is dealing with. Obviously, France is dealing with the same thing right now. A lot of immigrant unrest. And, part of the plan, divide and conquer, guys. That's how this all works. And the plan is going swimmingly, apparently. So there you go with that. More federal agencies right now are using undercover operations. Officers from at least 40 different agencies posing as business people, welfare recipients, political protesters, and even doctors or ministers to ferret out wrongdoing have increased now 40%, I guess, is what they're saying. At the Supreme Court, small teams of undercover officers dress as students at large demonstrations outside the courthouse to join protests and look for suspicious activity. Essentially, I'm not going to read this whole article to you guys, but if you go to redpillreports.com, every day when you go to the show link, you can learn all about the guests and the things that we're going to be talking about in the 11 o'clock hour, but you can also follow along with all of the pertinent news from the day. We include all of these links so that you guys can go and check out the things that we feel are very important. And you can also go to the contact area and give us some feedback on things that you think we should be covering or not covering. But again, this article is talking about how much undercover is going, how many undercover operations are actually going on with federal agencies, and this list is just ginormous. So I'd recommend everybody go and check that list out. But, you know, don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone, because they're all cops, guys. Look for the shiny shoes. That's a key, especially if you're in a protest situation and there are people milling about that might be part of your group and might not. Just look at the shoes, guys. Shiny shoes, dead giveaway. Pentagon study. Very interesting, coming out about the nuclear weapons infrastructure here in the United States, revealed systemic problems across the nuclear enterprise. And this is a report coming out of the New York Times. One of the problems that they outlined seems to me to be the most ridiculous, and the crews maintain that the nation's 450 intercontinental ballistic missiles, yeah, they only had a single wrench that could attach the nuclear warhead. So they started FedExing that one tool to three different bases spread across the country. Instead of actually, you know, doing some research, find out if they could buy, I don't know, another tool. You know, the military is going to spend $80,000 on a wrench anyway. Might as well get more than one. But apparently nobody in charge of the tactical nuclear weapon systems decided that it was worth having more than one tool to do the job. So that's what's going on with that. Which kind of draws my attention back to the fact that they keep dismissing all of these officers in the tactical nuclear divisions of the Air Force, and it makes you wonder, were they really negligent or stupid? You know, having one wrench to service 450 warheads kind of makes that point, you know, maybe potential there that those guys weren't doing their jobs effectively. I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt. That's just what I know right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to go to a 3-minute break like we always do right about this time. Cannot thank you guys enough for sticking with us through the break. Cannot also thank you enough for supporting Truth Frequency. The network is listener supported, and any donations that you guys can make to keep us at the top of the heap in terms of alternative news and information would be fantastic. And I personally would very much appreciate it. Stay with us over this 3-minute break, guys. We'll come back. We've got some more national news. We've got a lot of economic news and health news to get to. And Greg Morse will be joining us with the biggest story of the century at 11 o'clock. This is your Daily Dose of Deprogramming. My name is JD. We'll be right back. 3 minutes.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much. Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date? Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again. It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at HitsUSA.org.
The Cat Baker Show.
Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
It's 10:30 straight up Central Time, and we are live like we are every day, Monday through Friday, and we are knee-deep in the news section today. I want to thank everyone once again for checking out redpillreports.com. We do our best every single day to provide the most current and fresh and up-to-date information about what's going on in the world. We've got a fantastic staff that just does so much behind the scenes to keep you guys up to date on what's happening right now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Greg Morse interview that we're going to be doing at the 11 o'clock hour, and let everybody know that this is kind of going to be a follow-up to the interview that Greg did on Friday. There'll probably be a little bit of overlapping information, but we're hoping to give Greg a little bit more time to further delve into the story that he started to break on V the Gorilla Economist show on Friday. And for those of you who do go to redpillreports.com and follow along with the news section, which I recommend everybody do every day, because that way you guys can see how awful I am at getting through all the news every day. But we also include in that news section a featured video every single day. And we at Red Pill Reports on our YouTube channel are hosting the Gorilla Economist interview with Greg Morse from Friday. So once you listen to today's show, if you want to go back and listen to some of the other information that he gave on Friday, there's a very easy way to do that just by checking out the news section from today's show. And again, when I say that this is going to be the largest story ever on the internet, this is more important than the internet, guys. This is a bigger story than the medium that is going to carry it. That's what we're talking about right now. This is going to touch every single one of you and every single person that you know. You will not want to miss this interview. You will not want to be left on the sideline when this story takes off. I'm telling you right now, you're going to want, if you're going to choose a side of history to be on, brothers and sisters, this is it. This is, we are drawing a line in the sand today. And you have an opportunity to take action, and we have an opportunity to collectively put this country back on the right course and to root out the criminality that Greg has discovered. It's just, it's so all encompassing. I don't even know what to say about it. So I'm going to digress away from that for just a second. We'll get back into some national news, and then, we'll talk about some economic stuff, and at which point I will preface this, Greg Morse interview just a little bit more. So let's talk really quickly again about some national stuff that's going on. A new report, we talked about a little bit last week, with the FBI releasing some statistics talking about violent crime in the United States being down 4% just in the last year alone, which brings the amount of violent crimes down lower than it's ever been in 40 years. So the crux of this story, pardon me, is that Americans are committing less violent crimes than ever before, except for police officers. Yes, you heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. The violence has exploded amongst law enforcement agencies in this country over the last 10 years, up a crazy, crazy amount according to this FBI report. So all of us doing our best to keep violence off the streets, and the people that we pay to ensure that violence are staying off the streets, are apparently becoming more and more violent according to this FBI report that just came out this week. So take that for what it's worth. My stance on law enforcement is that they should all be removed immediately. We do not need law enforcement when most of what they do is revenue generation. What we need is voluntary peace officers, which are highly, highly supervised. And we need to get back to a point where peace officers are doing the job of protecting your minority rights against corporate entities like states and counties that want to put you in a cage for not wearing your seatbelt. Because that, in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen, is oppression. That is what oppression looks like. And that is what's going on right now. So let's move on also to the Ferguson situation. There has been a video now that has arisen. This video is of Darren Wilson. Darren Wilson, of course, is the white police officer who has been charged. Well, has not been charged, but who has there's a grand jury going on right now to determine if he's going to be charged in the slaying of an unarmed black teenager named Michael Brown. This, of course, happened just a few months ago and resulted in a large amount of protests and riots, and rightly so. If it turns out that this white police officer did go way above and beyond what it was that he was supposed to do and put this young man in the grave, I'm angry also, but I'm just as angry about the Brandon Ellingson case here at Lake Ozark that nobody seems to be talking about, where a white upstanding young man apparently was tossed from a patrol boat out on the water and ended up drowning, and nobody's gotten upset about that. So, you know, I'm trying to keep the focus on the fact that it is not a white and black issue. It is a violent police officer issue, and it is a lack of training in law enforcement. It is a superiority complex that these people have, and there are things that we can do to make all of these things get better. Anyway, I'm digressing away from where I was going with that, because I want to talk about this video that has come out about Darren Wilson. This is a video that apparently took place before the shooting of Michael Brown by a couple of weeks, and Wilson is seen standing near his Ferguson police officer's SUV, and he is warning another gentleman named Mike Armin about videotaping him. So Mike Armin is there, and he is videotaping an incident that is taking place and apparently involved Darren Wilson. Darren Wilson threatened him, said he was going to lock his expletive up if Armin continued to take pictures. And he wasn't taking pictures. He's actually recording the incident live. And the officer then walked onto the porch of Armand's home, apprehended him, and then told him that he did not have the right to film. So do we see a history of Mr. Darren Wilson not wanting to be filmed because he is a bad dude? Yes, I think that's what we see. And I think that, again, the situation in Ferguson, guys, is going to get absolutely explosive this week. I think once, you know, if they were going to indict this guy, they would have indicted him already. So I think it stands to reason, especially given the warnings that the school districts are sending home with people now, we are going to see unrest in Ferguson. It's also my opinion that that unrest is going to spread because that's what they want, and that's what I think we're going to see. So, in unrelated news, this is a report coming from USA Today. The Senate is going to take up a bill to stop the mass NSA snooping, and I'll believe that when I see it. But apparently, according to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he has now filed a motion that could bring up a procedural vote on the USA Freedom Act as soon as Tuesday, which is tomorrow, and a final vote on the bill by the end of next week. He says the American people are wondering whether Congress can get anything done. And the answer is yes, according to him. Congress can and should take up and pass the bipartisan USA Freedom Act without delay. This bill would seek to ban NSA's controversial bulk collection of phone records while allowing targeted surveillance of suspected terrorists. So what they're going to do is they'll pass a bill, and then they'll outfit some Boeings with the Stingray deals, and they'll just fly around, and they'll probably come up with a corporation off seas that house super big data centers, and then they can pump all that out there, and then it won't be anybody in the government. It'll be private corporations. So it's just more garbage. It's just them trying to pretend that they're doing something for us, but I don't believe that that's the case at all. And this is a story that kind of went under the radar this week. It actually happened last week, and I missed it, and I apologize for missing it. But at a conference in Central America just last week, Vice President Joe Biden announced that the U.S. would offer refugee status to some migrant children from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. This is according to the Associated Press. The U.S. government will launch a program in December to grant refugee status to some people under the age of 21 who live in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, and whose parents legally reside in the United States. So right now, they are admitting they're essentially saying that they want to reunite kids under the age of 21 whose parents already legally reside in the United States. And I know any of you out there who have listened to me on a different radio show know that I said that immediately when this whole flux of migrant children started to happen. I said, I will put money on it. I will bet you a dollar to a hole in a donut that there is a plan someplace right now. They are going down to Guatemala and they are talking to people and they're saying, you know, or they're coming to the United States and they're saying, hey, person, do you have children or minors in another country that we could bring here and reunite you guys? Guarantee you that that plan was well initiated. As we've already seen the results of a year's worth of work, the logistical work alone, busing these kids up, finding the people, keeping track of them. I mean, we're talking about a huge undertaking. And now they're coming out and saying, oh, well, we're gonna start this plan. Horse hockey. That's what I'm saying to this, ladies and gentlemen. Horse hockey. This has been the plan for at least a year, guys. There's just no way that this is just a recent development. This is them just saying, oh, by the way, this is what we've been doing. U.S. officials say parents can ask authorities free of charge for refugee status for their children in the Central American countries, which are plagued by poverty and vicious gang violence. The program does not apply to minors who have arrived in the United States illegally already. Vice President Joe Biden announced the program on Friday at the Inter-American Developmental Bank, where the presidents of three Central American countries will present a plan to stem child migration from their countries. Now, how is it exactly that we're going to stem child migration while at the same time encouraging child migration? How is that? I mean, this is not the most oxymoronic statement ever. I don't even know what could possibly be, but I guarantee you that this announcement went out on the front page of all of these Latin American newspapers this weekend. This is going to make for certain the fact that people are going to now be putting their kids on planes in dangerous positions with drug dealers, with smugglers. This is absolutely, if you want to believe that this is a humanitarian crisis going on, this is the exact opposite of how you deal with it, guys. This is the exact opposite. And here we are, Mr. Biden, granting refugee status to children in other countries. Oh my goodness. So there's that going on. I have some information also coming out of Oklahoma City. A lot of you are probably following Jesse Trenedu's lawsuit right now. He has essentially filed a new lawsuit in federal court in Utah, and the reason that he filed this report was because initially after the Oklahoma bombings happened, there allegedly was an FBI agent who offered to sell to the media shots of the bomb going off in the truck, the alleged bomb going off in the truck. He allegedly tried to sell to the media different perspectives, camera angles and videos that have never come up in any courtroom in terms of the Timothy McVeigh hearings. So the very fact that they tried to sell that footage, or somebody tried to sell that footage, substantiates the fact that that footage actually exists, even though the FBI and the whole crux of this lawsuit is that Jesse Trenedu says that that footage exists, as exemplified by the fact that the FBI tried to sell it, and Jesse Trenedu says we need to see that footage because it substantiates some of the evidence that the bomber, Timothy McVeigh, didn't act alone. And so if that is the case, there's obviously a lot more going on with the Oklahoma City story than was first brought to the public. So Jesse Trenedu now is fighting the FBI, and the FBI is saying that they have searched all their records and there is no footage, and there's nothing that they can do. But U.S. District Court Judge Clark Wadoops now has insisted that the FBI reinvest in this investigation. They are probably going to appoint a magistrate to head the reinvestigation of the FBI's holdings in terms of this case. So perhaps we will see things coming out that we haven't seen before. Again, you know, most of us here at Red Pill Reports understand that the Oklahoma City bombing was just another red flag and Timothy McVeigh's involvement is really just the tip of the iceberg. So our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to Jesse Trenadue, and we want to continue to support all the hard work that he is doing there, and we're hoping that that's going to result in something positive coming out of that story. And then in a completely unrelated story, but something I wanted to point out because it was just ridiculous, police officers drew their guns during an unannounced active shooter drill at a middle school in, I believe it was in Florida, in Winter Haven, Florida, yes. So police bust into a classroom carrying AR-15s. Nobody had told the teachers or the kids that they were going to have an unannounced shooter drill. And they were kind enough to let the parents know after the fact, after I'm sure many of them received frightening emails and text messages from their kids. Probably not the right way to do this active shooter drill by not announcing it and busting into kids' classrooms with guns. But if you understand that the idea is to keep these kids perpetually locked in fear, then it's par for the course and it makes total sense. So that's probably why that event went down the way that it did. And I feel bad for those kids that had to put up with garbage like that. But that is par for the course for the law enforcement departments in our country these days. So, yay, I'm excited to be a part of it all. Let's get into economics here very quickly. The Dow is down currently about 17 points, still hanging out in the 17,600 range. Gold is down a little today to 1184, but that 1184 mark obviously is up from the 1170 that we saw going into Friday. So who knows? Again, we've had so many economic experts on the show that just essentially say, no, what's going on with gold? We don't know. It's crazy, you know. So that's still going on. Silver is bumped up just above $16 right now. It is down for the day almost 1.5%, but $16.09 is your price for an ounce of silver right now. And oil dropping yet again almost another 0.5% to $75.14 a barrel. Hoping to see some of that bleed over into the retail markets. I'd like to see food costs come down. I'd certainly like to see the gas prices continue to drop, which we are seeing a little bit here in Missouri right now. So that's good news and probably good news for the economy as well. So I would like to jump into an article written by our very own Robert Smith, who is one of the best reporters that that I've run across in my life, and cannot tell you how excited we are to have people like Robert joining our staff and going through some of the really arduous investigation details that Greg Morse has come up with and tried to put it all into something digestible for everyone. But I want to bring everyone's attention to this issue right now because we are, as I mentioned earlier, going to be joined by Greg Morse in about 13 minutes. And this report right now is called Did Banks Gamble Your Home and Distort Chain of Title? It is up right now at redpillreports.com. I won't go through the whole thing, but as a preface to the economic discussion that we are getting ready to have with Greg, I do want to get into this. During the banker bailout of 2008, the financial centers of power came under examination. The deceptive and illegal practice of mortgage securitization was brought to light and showed the banking industry's willingness to distort chain of title involving property ownership, and showed that they would gamble with America's most cherished possessions, which is obviously their homes. Groundbreaking evidence has now appeared, which begs the question of just how deep this rabbit hole goes, and quite frankly, might make the Watergate scandal look trivial. And that is not an understatement, ladies and gentlemen. It obviously, this is, again, a bigger story than the internet, bigger story than the medium we are using to carry it. Through a secret shell game played with the proceeds derived from mortgage manipulation, underground black funds seem to have been created and used to fund terrorism throughout the world. To the point, the very extremists killing our soldiers and beheading Americans overseas might have been funded by money funneled from the MERS-created mortgage securities sold on Wall Street by some of the largest banks in the world. Greg Morse and Scott Bennett have followed the breadcrumbs and now are asking for your attention, which is why we are so privileged to be teaming up with Greg and bringing him on the show this afternoon to go over all of this with you guys. It doesn't take a whole lot of research to create a scenario in your mind where all of these events are possible. Banks laundering money for criminal elements are hardly something new. More often, than they care to admit. The banking industry has been caught laundering large sums of drug money, and HSBC has even paid a $1 billion fine because of it. Traditionally, and by law, banks who loan money to home buyers are required to track all transactions involved in an interest in the home through the county recorder. This process ensures proper accounting and allows everyone to have confidence in the property ownership records of the county. Because of the freedom to act without oversight of the publicly elected county recorder, MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, allows the banks to separate the note from the property itself. Instead of being registered with the public record, they are now recorded by the banks themselves, which is the proverbial fox guarding the hen house. They were then able to turn these notes into financial instruments, traded and leveraged on the stock market, beyond the ability of the average homeowner to even envision. By derivatives and insurance securitization, a $100,000 home mortgage could be worth well over $1 million. Furthermore, anytime a homeowner defaulted on payments, complicated insurance plans were activated and allowed the banks to come to cash in. Every mortgage was paid, whether the homeowner made a payment or not. It was brilliant. Why do you think these banks gave everybody with a pulse a loan in the early 2000s? They made money either way, up or down, foreclose or no foreclosure. Banks won at the Americans' expense. The mortgage notes were just a piece of paper to be toyed with, and it didn't matter who got hurt by this practice or its questionable legality. The large sums of money guaranteed by these complicated schemes created huge pools, plenty of hush money to go around and to keep the wheels greased and the carousel spinning. There is no question that proper accounting would make us look at the foreclosure crisis in an entirely new light. Why have these homeowners been ripped out of their homes when banks have suffered no financial loss? And where did all the money that the banks made cheating America actually go? The work of Greg Morse and Scott Bennett seemed to show a significant portion of this money was used to fund off-the-record activities, some of them being used to spread unrest through violence and to topple governments, laundering drug money, wrecking chains of titles, defrauding investors and homeowners alike. It has all been proven in court many, many times over, and there is a good chance that the bank you deposit your paycheck and got your home loan from have already paid billions in fines to settle these types of suits. Bank funding the very foreign gangs our soldiers have died for is sickening. And although Greg and Scott's work is the most complete and provable case proving the link between terrorism, the banks and your mortgage, it is not the first. And this article goes on to outline several situations where veterans have already been successful in fighting these things. But you have to understand that these successes are also being kept under the radar, and that if this story grows legs and we get this out in front of the American people, we have an opportunity right now to put these people down. We have an opportunity right now to actually bring these people to justice and to fix the most important issue that is wrong with our country, which is obviously the fractional reserve lending system, the Federal Reserve, the intricacy that is connecting all of these criminal organizations to one another. We have the ability to shine the brightest light ever in the history of the universe right on these people and watch them scurry like cockroaches. And, you know, Greg makes a great point in when he says that these guys have basically already lost. They have a choice right now as to whether or not they want to lose their careers or lose their careers and be embarrassed about it. And it's really the option is up to us. And one of the things that that Greg and Scott have done has been to create probably one of the most aggressively worded petitions I've ever read in my entire life. Most of the time when you read a petition, it's a request. It's saying, hey, we'd love it if you had the time, if you could, you know, maybe, address this issue. This petition, ladies and gentlemen, is not like that. This is, you put your name on this, you're biting into a big sandwich here, guys, because the language, is direct and we are not making requests at this point. We are absolutely demanding that these people who are in charge, supposedly, we're demanding that they do their jobs. That's it. That's what it comes down to. They have a job to do, and Greg and Scott have done such a good job of laying out the foundation, which shows very clearly that these people have not done their jobs, and shows very clearly also where these people have failed in doing what it is that they're supposed to do. And so We have the plan. The plan is on the table. We're going to be directing you guys to a website in the next hour so you guys can go and read this petition. We are looking for 100,000 people minimum to sign and send this petition. We can absolutely shut this system down if enough people are willing to pull their boots up and get busy. And that's what it's going to take, and that's why we have decided to team up with Greg, because again, this is information that you're not going to get anyplace else. This is one of the only places on the internet where Greg is even willing to come and talk about these things. Again, you know, we're talking about taking on the entire global corporate criminal banking system, you guys, and we're able to now show very clearly that they bamboozled us, and as a product of that bamboozlement, made billions and billions, if not trillions and trillions of dollars, and then used that money to further their agenda of global war, of, you know, using this money to topple governments, to using institutions which don't exist to launder drug money, which was, you know, part of the agenda also. It's just the layers of criminality that we're getting ready to discuss, ladies and gentlemen, is staggering. And I'm very appreciative of Greg for joining us today. So I want you guys all to stay here with that. I'm going to digress away from that for just a second and hit on a couple of other major headlines from around the world in terms of economics. According to WND right now, the gold shortage is the worst in over a decade. We have been talking about this for about a week now. But they're saying the last time there was a systemic physical gold shortage was back in July of 2013. And it was then that for the first time in 5 years, the 1 month gold forward offered rate went negative. And so right now, although the price of paper gold still seems to drop, the global demand is higher than it has ever been, ever in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen. People are trying to buy gold hand over fist right now. There's another report coming from Gold Eagle right now, which shows via charts the reverse of the central bank gold policy over the last decade. You know, about a decade ago, they didn't think there was much value in gold, and now all of the private central banks are buying up gold as quickly as they possibly can. So that is what's going on in the gold and silver market. We apparently ran out of time, like I do every day. We're going to go to a quick 3-minute break, you guys. This is your Daily Dose of Deprogramming. Thank you guys for being here on Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for today. Stay with us. We are going to have Greg Morse on, and for one of the most potentially important discussions you'll ever hear, ever in your life. Get your friends, get your family. This is going to be big, 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 big. Stay right here. My name's JD. We are live. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Thanks for staying here, guys.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest-growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to OurUniversalJourney.com.au.
future, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
You must unite what has been set asunder.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Oh my goodness, so my microphone was muted that whole time, so let's start that whole thing all over. I apologize about that for the dead air, ladies and gentlemen. Again, my name is JD, thank you guys for being here. We are live, as we are every day, Monday through Friday. It is 11 o'clock Central Time right now, and we're moving into the second hour of our broadcast. Want to preface this by saying how thankful I am to be given an opportunity by Greg and his investigatory team to work hand in hand as we try and flush out this investigation. Again, probably one of the most multi-layered, multifaceted criminal developments I've ever come across, and Greg's work has just been absolutely second to nothing I've ever seen ever in my life. So, Greg, thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks, JD.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And again, when we say that this is probably going to be a story bigger than the internet itself, we're not kidding when we say that, are we, Greg?
No, we're really not. It's all predicated on how many people we can get to get involved, become actionless with us, and sign on board.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really, as I said, very, very privileged to be part of this team and doing what I can to help spread this message. But, Greg, before we get involved with everything that's going on with the mortgage scandal, as it were, would you do us a favor and just give us a little bit of insight into your background and how you became so involved with this issue?
Yeah, the short version, JD, is that back in the mid-'80s, my single partner and I ended up being one of the largest individual private developers of airports in the country. And it was all by just luck. But we ended up building some very large projects. And we had one going up in Frisco, Texas, called the North Dallas Jetport. And during the course of that effort, we were involved with one of the big SNLs called Franklin Savings and Loan that was located at 712 Congress Avenue down in Austin. And I won't go into the detail, but we caught them lying, saying that they had a $1.2 billion in asset when in fact they were $400 million in the red.
Oof.
And so that led in late 85, that led to us being two of the people that were members of a small group that ended up breaking the entire SNL debacle, for the American people. So wow. that led into a 9-year, federal lawsuit that we finally won in 93. Almost 9 years, I guess it was eight actually, 85 to, yeah, be 8 years. And what ended up happening was when this mortgage crisis broke in 08, I had never missed payment, never been late. I was running my corporate jet business and whatnot, and I didn't think anything about it. And I don't believe anything in the lamestream press. So I wasn't really paying attention. All of a sudden, my phone started ringing off the wall from people in Washington, down in Austin, other places. And there were people that I dealt with almost 30 years before on the SNL crisis. And they said, are you aware of what's going on? And I said, only what I've heard, you know, sparingly in the press. They said, would you help? And I said, well, certainly it's something we need to look at. So one thing led to another. And the end of the subject is, after taking about 6 months, up until early 2009, we did a real serious investigation on my mortgage, which at that time consisted of Homecomings Financial, GMAC, Fannie Mae, and ended up being a lot of others that we were unaware of, according to the county recorder's record. And we found over 1,000, literally, and it's on our website. You can go read the summary of claims. We found over 1,000 individual instances of either criminal fraud or civil statute violation on both the state and federal level in just my one mortgage.
Just your mortgage.
Just that one.
Unbelievable.
And they're on our website, JD. You can go to saveourfamilyathome.com, go to the documents for download, go look at it, and I've posted it. There is a 32-page long summary with about, I don't know, 60 or 70 lines per page, and it lists by paragraph in the complaint, in the amended complaint that's also on the site. It lists by paragraph, by page, which statutes were broken, whether they were state or federal, and which entity broke those statutes.
Wow. And again, the name of your website is saveourfamilyandhome.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I definitely would recommend everybody go there, and we're going to give them another reason to go to that site in just a little while once we start talking about the action items that are related to this issue in terms of the petition that you guys have put up. But I want to talk a little bit about how you made the transition from, I mean, once you realized there was so much going on in your own mortgage, what was it that made you say, okay, we need to really ramp this thing up? And, you know, obviously if it's affecting me, it's affecting everyone. You know, what was it that hit you where you said, okay, we got it. It's go time. We really have to get involved on a national level.
It was the realization, JD, of all of the criminal acts of cover up conducted against me in my pro se federal civil RICO, Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations Act lawsuit by the judges and the lawyers in the court system.
So essentially you got so much blowback just from dealing with your own RICO lawsuit that you decided you had enough essentially and said, I'm not going to take this line down.
Yeah, because it was obvious you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb to not realize it, that, you know, as Hillsang goes, even Stevie Wonder could see this. It was the blowback, and I've talked to him personally about that. He thinks it's funny. The point of it is this. There were so many acts of lying, submitting of fraudulent documents, ignoring of state and federal statute and federal court that I said, there's got to be more to this. You know, it's kind of like a constellational anomaly. At that point, you don't know the technical specificity and meaning of every single one of those actions. But if every time you go through the door, you may not see the guy hitting you in the face with the bat, but you know you got hit. So it entices you to go find out who the heck's holding the bat.
Right. And I mean the effort that you put in has been beyond commendable, we'll just say. But do you want to perhaps walk us through some of the main bullet points of what it was that you've discovered in terms of this being, you know, the totalitarian nature of this entire endeavor that you're on right now?
Yeah, let me I'm going to leave, as we previously discussed, let me just leave all because of the timing, let me just leave all of the technical complexity out of it. Let's go right to the summary.
Okay.
Here's what we found. The corruption and the effort against me, which is included physical attacks, house break-ins, vehicle, destruction, death threats, all of that hocus pocus, which does nothing to bother. I couldn't care less about any. It means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. I invite them to come see us. The bottom line is that after all of those things happened, what we found were the following two things. The mortgage crisis for the average American citizen, of which you and I, JD, are two. Mm-hmm. The biggest two issues was that the mortgage crisis represents, without question, without equivocation, the single largest acts, at plural, of income, federal income tax evasion and securities fraud.
Wow.
Now, we're talking in the quadrillions, not trillions, quadrillions of dollars. Now, if you want to talk about exactly why that's true and how we can prove it, happy to do it. But here's what those two conclusions led to. That led to me filing on April the 24th of 2014 a composite 500-page private American citizen whistleblower package, subsequently which has been received, accepted, and acknowledged as being legal and in concert with the law, mm-hmm. compliant with the law, from both the IRS and the SEC, a whistleblower document. And we've laid out thousands of pages of corroborating evidence. I've written a 279-page jurat affidavit, which is on the website, and it tells you everything that happened that we can prove, starting with the appraiser coming out to appraise your property before you buy it, all the way up to including the money going through the DTCC and going to the Federal Reserve.
My goodness.
At that point, we knew that we could track and fight in court and show exactly what happened from that starting all the way to that ending point. Starting being appraiser, ending being the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
What we didn't have was the information that we've been able to obtain in concert with me bringing Scott Bennett onto the process here about how the money got from the Federal Reserve, not singularly, but in large measure predominantly to the Union Bank of Switzerland, UBS, mm-hmm. and how those funds have subsequently been used to fund terrorist activities of the very people that we said used to be our greatest enemies, that being Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. and military black ops. So that, in 5 minutes or less, is the summary of how we got. That's what we found. That's what we can prove. And that's where it took us.
I mean, that is one heck of an accusation, Greg. And I'm not saying that, that we don't believe you guys, but, that's one of the most powerful accusations I've ever heard in my entire life, because you're basically saying that the casino was not only rigged, and everybody who understands fractional reserve lending and the way the Federal Reserve works, we all understand that the casino is rigged, but that they took the profits from that rigging to then engage us into all of these other illicit activities, you know, putting the junta in Ukraine, supporting Al-Qaeda, supporting the quote unquote moderate, rebels in Syria, they use that money then to promote instances that will allow them to accelerate their agenda and allow them to almost complete the cycle again. You know what I mean? It's like a self-fulfilling cyclical prophecy right now. It's just staggering to me.
Well, it is staggering, but let me put it into the proper context, not only for you, which I know you understand, but also for your listeners.
Okay.
Everybody has got to understand this, and I always downshift into first gear because I want you and everybody to hear me. Mm-hmm. Number one, do we have all the evidence? Of course not. You would ask, well, why? When you have over 15,000 pages, isn't that all of it? No, there's probably billions of pages of documents. Here's why. It's because those documents are under the control of parties that are our enemies. they're not going to voluntarily, unless they are forced, either by federal marshal issuing of subpoenas, which they would still fight, mm-hmm. or a judge were to order them to give it, and the judges, in my opinion, are dealing in concert with them,
yes.
because it's going against the legal country club.
Mm-hmm.
Or third, we do what we're doing, and that is we're asking people to give us the power to take them with us, if they so elect, to walk in on the floor of a joint House of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we can't get that evidence by being nice guys, sending them a politically correct, gentle request and say, would you please give us all the information from your own files, which corroborates that you're a crook? It ain't going to happen.
Right.
That's the first point. The second issue is what we do have on my end of the equation, from the appraiser to the Federal Reserve, we can prove everything we claim. So it's not an issue of supposition or saying it's a salacious accusation, because all we have to do is to have the platform on which to be able to enter onto the public record the evidence. Then it's no longer considered by the debunkers as being salacious, because all of our evidence is publicly accessed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to Scott's information, it's a little different story. Scott was in the bowels of the terrorist funding operations of Booz Allen Hamilton and a number of military agencies.
Okay.
Now, that information is, he's got tons of it. We posted a lot of it, you know, 500-600 pages or so on the website for your perusal. And that in and of itself is condemnatory and salacious as heck. But here's the point. Now, in his case, you're talking about further constraints of Patriot Act, NDAA, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that stuff is classified, supposedly, but it's classified not because it's really in the interest of national security. It's classified because it precludes it from being disclosed, such that the people who are complicit in doing these things could be easily rooted out.
Exactly.
So that's why we have to get to a congressional hearing, as I have stated in our petitioner's letter, on the website, under the icon on the left side, big blue icon, which is called Petitioner's Letter. And in that letter, I have clearly stated that we demand, and this is not a politically correct soft-hitting letter.
No.
It specifically tells every receiving House of Congress member on all the IGs that we are demanding that you comply with your oath with total complete disregard for your own political future, any political blowback, any hidden agenda that you or your organization or agency may have, and that if you don't do it and we are able to get this information out, that you may very well find yourself in the position of being classified as being abetting the crime as being a co-conspirator.
Right.
You're aiding and abetting the cover-up.
Well, and if you can connect these, you know, some senator guy who didn't vet out what it was that he was supposed to be doing as directly overseeing some sort of transaction that's supporting terrorism, I mean, it's not a hard line to say, well, those guys are obviously terrorists now if they're, you know, materially supporting terrorism is technically a terrorism in our country, right? I mean,
you could not be more right. You see, it's what I call a constellational anomaly. You may not know all of the technical specifics about every single fact, but there comes a tipping point, JD, when you're doing a very deeply intellectual, technically complex research project. The preponderance of evidence, as long as that evidence is corroborated and is publicly sourced, it's not the rewriting of somebody's rewrite of an article, the source of which you don't know the data. We're talking
right.
about actual documents from the SEC and others. What happens is that the preponderance of that evidence very quickly tells you what direction you're headed to.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Scott, he's not saying, nor am I saying, that it was specifically singularly Al-Qaeda or ISIS. What we're saying is that once we have the hearing, these guys are going to be in a no-win situation, because mm-hmm. they're either going to support our effort and take the blowback, and they may find that they're going to be charged with being complicitory and therefore guilty of being a co-conspirator.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other option is what? Try to ignore us, try to further cover it up. We get the information on the record. Then what do? Uh-oh, now they're caught.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of in a position of damned if they do, damned if they don't. That's why the petitioner's letter and the petition are so harsh and to the point, because you can't give these guys, as we all know from practical experience over the last 60 years, you can't give them any wiggle room.
Exactly.
So what we are saying, last statement is, what we are saying is that the preponderance of evidence out of 24,000 checking accounts and monetary holding accounts at UBS, those monies in whole or in part were used to fund a number of clandestine efforts. Some are probably black ops. Some are terrorist related, directly or indirectly, but we can't specifically say how much money on this day went to what organization until we get the Congress of the United States to grow some and stand up for their oath in our constitutional republic and say, we want that evidence. We're going to tie the connection.
I'm still in shock that you just said that there were 24,000 different bank accounts just at that one bank, HSBC, that you guys can now corroborate with some of these black programs. That is such an astounding statement, because, you know, we're talking about, that's just one bank, right? We're just talking about one bank.
Yeah, and let me correct you, it's not HSBC, it was UBS.
Oh, UBS, I apologize.
Now, HSBC, though, is one of them. So if there's 24,000 at UBS, Lord knows how many there are at HSBC, Euroclear, Clearstream, and all of the other stock market-related spoke entities that come off the hub, which right. is the DTCC and the Federal Reserve in this country.
I want to definitely talk about the DTCC for people who don't know about it. But one question I want to ask you, just to clarify, and I know you've mentioned this on other radio shows before, but I think it's important in that all of this information that you guys have compiled was all gotten legally, right? You guys didn't hack computers or bribe people or anything like that. Like, all of this is definitely 1,000% admissible in a court, correct?
Absolutely. Our guiding rule is what's called the FREs, the Federal Rules of Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
That was our guiding principle. And if you don't follow that, then a typical lawyer who knows anything is going to attack the credibility of your evidence and claim that you hacked a website, you broke into somebody's office and stole it, et cetera, and so on. Absolutely not. Every piece of evidence we have obtained, you could find, or anyone else can find, if they were a trained, dedicated researcher and you wanted to dedicate the time, the money, the sacrifice, and the effort to find it, everybody could find it.
It's funny, because I kind of picture you, Greg, as someplace in between like a forensic accountant and like a kind of like a James Bond kind of guy. I feel like I'm reading part of a Tom Clancy novel right now, if I'm honest.
That's kind of an ugly picture, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is, but it's necessary for people to exist like that are going to go out and actually solve problems like you're doing. You know, I mean, then again, you know, this, we're going to get into the petition portion of this segment in the next hour. But the things that you've pulled together and your ability to stand by it and not be afraid, is just second to nothing I've ever experienced in my life, Greg. I cannot commend you enough, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And let me take this time to sincerely tell your audience how important J.D. Moore, and I'm not going to give out the names of the other guys, but Robert and Jeff and the rest of your team, the work that you've done, the videos you've done, the articles you've written, the effort that you're putting forth to spread the word, and at least visibly from the public perspective, the phenomenal work that Robert does in building and managing and running the website, which yes. in my book is second to none anywhere.
I completely agree with that, and I would be absolutely lost without Rob and Jeff in my life. Rob does such a great job on the website, and also does such a great job cultivating other players, you know, getting our reporters on team and getting people to really start producing some good stuff. And, you know, we're, as I said, really excited to be working with you. One of the questions I had, though, since we talked about, you know, I know you made the initial effort. You built this perfect description of what was going on, and you sent it to every single person with a pulse and every single person who might be in a position to do something about it, and probably a lot of people who weren't in a position to do anything about this. But what has been the response from your initial effort at trying to get these people to do their jobs, Greg, when you sent out all these whistleblower packages?
It's been abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. Sent out over 505, and of course the distribution list, again, the way I try to do things, I've got some strengths, but I got a lot of flaws. So I'm always working on trying to minimize the flaws. But when I say we post something to prove what we say, That's our biblical truth. Right. It is all on the website. So you can go to the website and you can see, go to documents for download,
uh-huh.
then click on whistleblower package, scroll down and you'll see a document entitled whistleblower package distribution list.
And
you open that up and it's 12 pages of every single breathing human being, starting with Barack Obama on the top left of the first column.
Uh-huh.
That'll tell you every person that we sent a certified package of this information to. And out of all of those, including the G20, et cetera.
Right.
We've had four. Now I'm taking the responses from the IRS and the SEC out because those people have an obligation to respond. So I'm talking about other than the two parties with whom I formally filed my whistleblower package with, and you need to ask me about that if we can squeeze it in, because people hear this term whistleblower. I don't think anybody really understands what it means, and I think it would be a great interest and benefit knowledge-wise to your audience to understand at least a summary couple of statements about that at
okay.
some point.
Okay.
But out of all that, we've had four responses. The Department
four of voluntary four. Responses, not people who are obligated to respond to you because of law, but four people who said, I gotta respond here.
Exactly. And also it's only four that have responded in writing.
Right.
Department of Justice, Department of Defense, Federal Trade Commission, who's the other one? DOD, DOJ, Federal Trade Commission, I'm having a brain lurky. I forgot the fourth one. There's four of them. Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting? They're all on the website. You can go see them. Pardon my memory. My memory block here. But when you look at the letters, you can read them yourself. You can see with my handwritten stamp on the date they were received. And they're all highlighted. The important statements are highlighted in yellow, so we made it easy for you. You don't have to read the whole letter. Just look at the yellow.
Okay.
Every one of those agencies claim that the issues that, the GAO is the other one.
Oh, okay.
Dig this. The Government Accountability Office, whose congressional mandate is to be the watchdog for the Congress over the whole rest of the government.
Right.
They all say that this information does not merit their investigation because it's not within their jurisdiction.
Could you imagine something not being under the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice? Like, doesn't that just include the planet Pluto at this point? I mean, that's ridiculous.
But that's why I put it up here, because people are going to say, this guy is Looney Tunes. I don't take drugs, never have, and they're going to say I'm a cocaine addict. No, I'm not. Go to the website and read the documents for yourself.
Yes, we've got them linked on our website as well. If you go to redpillreports.com on the Daily Show, you can find links to both the petition letter and the petition. We're going to have to take a quick 3-minute break. Greg, thank you so much for being here. We will be back in 3 minutes. This is your Daily Dose of Deprogramming. And when we come back, we're going to talk action items, guys, what we can all do about it.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Ship.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want.
Ever since our Google Plus integration, we've seen a 30% reduction in racist and bigoted comments. People are even starting to notice the complete lack of bigoted comments, and frankly, they miss them. To make up for this deficit, we have added auto-commenting bots to YouTube Plus that can be set to either type racist or hateful comments. Similar to the auto-comment bot, we've created the auto-spam bot, which allows terrible YouTubers to beg people to watch their horrible excuses for videos they put out. These comments can go out to every video they've ever interacted with.
Hey guys! So we're like really wanting to be filmmakers on YouTube, and we'd totes appreciate it if you come watch our videos and comment, like, and subscribe. That'd be totes amazeballs. Yeah, we really like subscribers.
YouTube Plus. We own you!
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy!
Anarchy!
Live Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Right now, we are live. We are exceptionally privileged today to be joined by the one and only Greg Morse as we start to flush out some of the details in what is turning out to be probably the most complicated and yet simple criminal organization that I've ever run across. And again, very thankful for Greg Morse joining us today to go over some of this information with us. I want to encourage everyone to go to his website, which is saveourfamilyandhome.com, go to the section for downloads, and you can download and read all of these documents that Greg is talking about today. Greg, before we went to the break, we were starting to talk a little bit about the whistleblower package, and you had kind of mentioned that you thought some details of that needed to be flushed out. So I want to open up the floor to you to go ahead and do that, if you would, sir.
Sure. People, you know, it's like any other mantra, JD, that you don't hear a word, and then like terrorist. You know, 15 years ago, you never heard the term terrorist, right?
Right.
Now you can't go anywhere, including your local 7-Eleven, without hearing the word terrorist. So it takes on a numbing effect. Mm-hmm. I think the same kind of psychological effect has taken place with the term whistleblower. Let me explain to you. There's two categories of whistleblower. The original Whistleblower Protection Acts, which have under Obama's, let's just say his reign, under Obama's reign, the Whistleblower Acts have been totally ignored, and he's gone after whistleblowers like crazy, thrown them in jail.
Right.
Now, those Whistleblower Acts were originally passed by Congress for the express purpose of protecting employees of the government who wanted to blow the whistle on things that they, in their private capacities, learned were being done criminally, illegally, or administratively wasteful in their agencies.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't have those linkages. Yes, was I military? Yes. Did I have an intelligence? Yes. But all of my contracts have long since been dead, and I have no relationship as a private American citizen to any government agency or group of any kind.
Okay.
Now, when you are a government employee, as Scott was, he is under a different set of constraints and protocols and risks and concerns regarding, well, if I put out too much information, do they come throw me in Guantanamo or some dead
right.
thing under NDA, which obviously has happened. Susan Lindauer is a classic example. So his concern is absolutely legitimate. So a lot of the documents that we have regarding that part of the story, which I'm not going to talk anymore about because I'm not as able to talk directly about that as I am about the stuff that me and my team have come up with. So we'll focus on that.
Okay.
But that information in its totality will be disclosed when we walk in with pallets full of documents on the floor of the Congress. But at that point, you see, they can't do anything to Scott because we're already there.
Right.
But if we tell them all of our evidence on the front end, that gives them a chance to start playing more of their already proven, they're willing to do dirty acts mm-hmm. and work to keep us from getting it to the floor. So in my case as a whistleblower, I am a non-government employee. I have no linkages or constraints. So therefore the whistleblower protection acts mean nothing to me. I am dangerous to them because they know I don't rely on those because I don't need it. I'm a private American citizen. I can do whatever I want. Number two, if you go to the website and take 5 or 10 minutes and look at the documents, you see my name, my address, my social security number, my signature. I'm totally out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
I put my address on the website. You know exactly where I live. You can Google search it. You can see where I live. I'm not hiding from anybody. I don't use acronyms, pseudonyms, or nothing else. I am who I am, and it's all out there in the public. That bothers them.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah, I mean, seeing an actual person standing up and putting a knife in your teeth and running right at them, that's the best way to make these people run like cockroaches, man.
Exactly. So what happens is I file my package with the IRS and the SEC. Now, let's talk about that a minute. You wanted me or asked me to give a little bit of details about how you go from the appraisers.
Yes.
Federal Reserve. Let me answer that question because I think it's all in context. And I'll try to be very specific. Mm-hmm. As a whistleblower, what I'm telling the federal government is that my evidence proves criminal behavior that is taking monies that the law says those agencies have the jurisdictional mandated authority and responsibility to stop from happening. And I'm telling the IRS, even though I disagree with everything about the IRS from a constitutional perspective, mm-hmm. their job is to be paid the taxes that the current set of laws says they are owed to collect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody is conducting criminal behavior, which precludes them from collecting that money, that is termed tax evasion.
Yep.
Now, the entire MERS, Fannie Mae, residential mortgage-backed securitization trust, DTCC, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, operational construct, did one thing. It created, out of thin air, quadrillions of dollars, all of which are taxable, and they hid it under a voluntary SEC law.
Wow.
Here you go, and we can talk about self-regulating organizations. You see, we can't do all this in 1 hour. We've mm-hmm. got to spend time together in multiple shows for the benefit of your audience so they can understand the technical realities of how these pieces fit together.
Yes.
Here's the point. It's the old adage of I lie and you swear to it. The SEC gets laws passed which says that if you, the Residential Mortgage-Backed Security Trust, which is the entity into which all 70 million mortgages that Fannie Mae owns was put into,
uh-huh.
all you have to do to not pay tax is to make a claim that you are a residential mortgage-backed security-based trust there, and you're a real estate mortgage investment conduit trust.
Wow.
And when you do that, if you have less than 300 owners of the trust, you don't have to pay taxes.
Wow.
Now that's what the law says. Step two is that if you are going to make that, and you don't have to get approved for it, JD, all you got to do is file a form.
Yeah, so it's saying they don't even have to corroborate the fact that you just have to make the claim.
You just make the claim. That means you don't pay any taxes.
Wow.
Now, think of it this way. A REMIC trust, real estate mortgage investment conduit trust, which is comprised of millions of residential mortgage-backed securities, which means derivative, which means nothing of value, which means it represents millions of broken chains of title. What happens is the REMIC, the trust, claims a REMIC tax exemption. The REMIC is not a form of an organization. It is a classification of an already existing trust, most of which were established under the laws, the trust laws of the state of New York.
Okay.
They file the form. It says, we don't owe tax because we've got X number of dollars and we have less than 300 owners. So therefore we don't pay any tax. Aha. Here's where the fraud comes in. The law specifically says that every one of the mortgages that are in the trust that has become a real estate mortgage investment conduit, every one of those mortgages has got to meet a certain test for its validity, theoretically, for the benefit of the American people, so the values of those mortgages are not undermined. What's the very first one of those? The chain of title cannot have been broken.
Right. Right.
Number two, if the chain of title is broken, that mortgage is no longer what's called a qualified mortgage. It becomes what is called a non-qualified mortgage. At that point, the tax exempt status is voided and you owe back taxes, penalties, fees, and taxes going into the future.
Wow.
So that means you've got trusts, REMIC trusts, that have generated quadrillions of dollars. They're all illegal. There's thousands of them. Everyone we've looked at couldn't come close. They couldn't even come close to being termed legal because all the mortgages went through Fannie Mae, which means by definition the chains of title were broken.
Unbelievable.
That means that every REMIC trust owes income tax to the federal government. The reason the SEC got involved is because they are complicit. And I'm sure they're listening to us. So they're not liking this conversation.
Oh, I'm sure they're not.
In their laws, they're complicit with the IRS because the SEC is not going after the people who are conducting the securities fraud, which is generating income, which is taxable. It's not non-taxable revenue. So now we've got the IRS and the SEC both caught red-handed.
It's staggering the level of over-layered criminality that's going on right now, Greg.
It's breathtaking, and you see, if I was a whistleblower government employee type, I couldn't bring all this out.
Right, right. That's
why I want to talk about
that. How many mortgages do you think are affected? What percentage of residential mortgages do you think are affected by this?
I think probably it's well over 90%.
Oh, my goodness.
by the website disclosures of Fannie Mae, they own, control, or have influence on over 70 million mortgages. Now, if you look at the GAO, the Federal Reserve, and the Census Bureau reports from 2013, it says that it collectively they're all a few billion apart, but it's all in the $13 trillion range that represents the total value of all residential mortgages in the United States. Now, if you look at that and you divide it by 70 million, you quickly see to where that's a pretty high percentage of all that $13 trillion. There could be some old mortgages that didn't get dragged into the MERS problem, but if Fannie Mae has, by the testimony witnessed of which you can go see on the evidence, we've got all the depositions, from their two head guys, they admit they have control over 70 million. Now, but it's not really Fannie Mae, is it?
Uh-uh.
Because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are GSEs. A GSE is a government-sponsored enterprise. That's just a politically correct shuffle step to the left fraud, which is intended to cover up the fact they're part of the government. Well, that came out when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac both declared bankruptcy,
right?
And the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which is the federal government, took over ownership, control, and conservatorship of both of those. So now your mortgage is owned by the federal government.
And that's crazy because we're not, you know, there is a, with almost mathematical certainty, you could now say that if you are out there listening to this radio broadcast and you have a mortgage, that this issue affects you almost mathematically without doubt, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason people don't know it is because I think they have become mesmerized with all the people since 2008 that have talk, and nobody's ever gone after these guys, and nobody's ever done anything more, basically, from our research, than write articles. They don't ever give the evidence. They right. never tell the background story so that the poor American citizen is kept in the dark. So how can you expect them to know the truth if you don't give them the evidence and don't have shows like Red Pill, which let you get the technical realities disclosed?
Mm-hmm. And I would like to have you back on to kind of go over some of the more technical realities with this situation, because, again, we could spend hours and hours going over all this. But I want to get into the action item, man. You guys have put together a beautiful petition and a beautiful petition letter. I read it for the first time just a day or so ago, and to say that that petition letter is aggressive would be an understatement, Greg. And I fully commend the language that you guys have pulled together for that. It is something that everybody, you know, we're presenting everyone with an opportunity to make a decision. You either are going to draw a line in the sand and be on the right side of history, or you're not. And the language in the petition really substantiates that. So talk to us a little bit about what the game plan is going forward and why it is so important that people get involved with this petition.
The only way we can win this, because you can't afford, you cannot have, as an individual or a small group of individuals, you can have no effect on things like Benghazi, NDAA, Patriot Act, Posse Comitatus, Fast and Furious,
right?
Fukushima, my lord, we can cover millions of it. You have, you can be concerned and you can be an activist and you can try to get smart about it.
Right.
Here's the analogy. And this is blunt and harsh, but it's the God's honest truth. Take an individual who never reads and studies, can hardly read, can hardly write, doesn't care about anything, and he dies. He's dead. Take the next person who studies constantly and takes an activist stance on a lot of issues, gets multiple PhDs, extremely intellectual, but he never does anything. He dies. What's the end conclusion?
There's no difference.
There's no difference. They're both dead. One guy died a dummy and one guy died a well-informed person.
Probably a worried well-informed person too, probably.
Yes, but nothing ever happened.
Right.
So what we have to do is put activism aside and embrace actionalism. Not even a word. I made it up. Okay. Actionalism. It says we have been activists, which is hugely important, because you got to know what you're talking about. But right. once you know what you're talking about and you have the evidence to prove it, then you got to look at it and say, what effect does it have on me, my family, my heirs, my loved ones, and my country? Mm-hmm. Okay, if the conclusion is this is really bad stuff, and this is, as I've stated very clearly in the whistleblower document, you can read all, you can download, save, keep it for yourself and read every page of the 279 pages that I wrote every word of. What it says is this: to the IRS and the SEC and all 505 people that received that document, every person got the documents that you're seeing on the website. So when you say how many people have responded and I tell you four, that should make that answer even more breathtaking, because we've given them not only what happened, but the evidence. And they still have, the senators of this nation haven't even responded.
Yeah,
not
disgusting.
A one of them.
It's disgusting.
It's repugnant.
Yes.
It'll make you throw up.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? What happens is that we have got to come together and become actionalists. We have to take action. We know that if we onesie-twosie go through the federal court system, although my case is still standing when most of them are dead, and I've got one more step to go before I go to the Supreme Court, and they can't stop me from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using the legal system as a pro se plaintiff to our best ability, but I'm still only one guy.
Right.
And this is not about me. This is not about me fighting a lawsuit and getting a big settlement like Birkenfeld did on the UBS banking deal and going off and drinking little drinks with umbrellas in it. That's not what this is about.
Right.
This is about using this case and what we've learned not only in the case directly, but all the rest of the commingled evidence for the benefit of the American people to say, look, people, this is how they're killing us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to die stupid. I don't want to die smart. I don't want to die. I want to save our constitutional republic. Well, it's all basically gone, so that means we have to reconstitute it.
Right.
We have to reinstitute it. How do we do that? We get every American citizen within our listening voice and all the people that those people know. You know, Bob knows Ted, knows Carol, knows Al.
Yep.
We've got to build an army of constitutional, law-abiding, peace-loving actionalists. You don't want the other kind of revolution. It will cause this country to totally implode.
Yes.
We have to beat these, you know whats, at their own game using the laws of our nation. Now, if you look at the USC, the United States Code in general, what you're going to find is something breathtaking. And most people don't ever have any reason or they don't have the inclination to study it. But this is, I think this is really true. You're going to find that for the most part, the United States Code is a pretty dadgum good system.
Heck yes, it is. It's the fact that they've obfuscated language to the point where we don't even know how to understand the code now. But yeah, the legal system really technically is pretty simple and it really works effectively if you do it right.
And JD, there are wonderful checks and balances, but here's where the system falls down. The first one you've already identified. Very insightfully, they use obfuscated language to keep you from understanding it, number one.
Yes.
And then number two, when you have almost every member of Congress being a member of the country club bar license number holding community.
Yes.
They get corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they abuse the law, as I have clearly defined today, just in the IRS and the SEC. What two agencies are bigger than those two, individually and collectively, that affects the daily life of every single breathing American citizen? Tell me who they are.
Unless you wanted to classify the mainstream media as the fourth branch of government, I don't think there is a bigger one.
Well, first off, they don't have any legal authority or constitutional jurisdiction over anybody. Second, they're totally corrupted. And thirdly, they lie to you. So to me, there is no fourth estate anymore. And the mainstream media is not even an organization. It's the marketing arm of people
yes.
like Murdoch.
Yes.
So I don't even put them in the same category. Everybody is scared to death of the IRS. And everybody who has any kind of money typically plays in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you own a home, you're in the stock market corrupt system whether you like it or not.
Well.
Because your home mortgage has been securitized and is traded as a figment of your imagination derivative. That is the definition of a derivative.
Mm-hmm.
It is a figment of your imagination. It only exists on paper. It has no financial backing. It has no geographic or financial demographics associated with it. Other than the values that are, as a gamble, placed on it by the people who write the paper. It's a figment of your imagination. So if you own a home, whether you have a penny invested in stocks, you're in the stock market because that's where your house is.
Yeah, well, at least your home is. I mean, even if you're not, your home is.
So the point is the IRS and the SEC are the two biggest agencies under this huge monopolistic governmental system that's been politically developed. Those are the two biggest agencies that affect everybody in this country more predominantly than any other individual or collection of agencies. Because most people don't deal with Commerce or the DOD or the GAO, but they do deal with the SEC and the IRS on a regular basis whether they know it or not.
Wow.
Well, that's why this is the biggest fraud in history.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it trumps Watergate a million times over. It trumps Iran-Contra a million times over because those were very geographically specific events that were perceived by the American public to only affect a certain group of people. What I'm disclosing affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the action? Go to the website. Read the petitioner's letter, which I drafted. Read the petition, which I drafted. Had input on it a little bit, but I, for the Pope's part, I drafted it. So if it's good or bad, I get the B-nos or the criticism. That's fine. I don't care. The point of it is it's a demand letter holding the members of Congress and the inspectors general to their oath because they work for us. Mm-hmm. Why are we in the situation that we're in, JD? It's not because they're corrupt. It's not because they're criminal. There's been criminals since 5,000 years ago.
Yep.
They're doing what they're doing because we as the American people are letting them get away with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is absolutely correct. We have given them consent to do these things and then give them carte blanche to do whatever they want. And nobody ever wants to hold anybody accountable. And I don't even know if there are people, you know, we say we want the Justice Department to hold these people accountable. But I just wonder if there are if there's anybody left in the world that could actually hold these people accountable, Greg, you know.
I can make a case for both, and I don't know because my crystal ball has been broken for 63 years and is still in the shop.
Right.
But here's what I will tell you. No individual or collective group of politicians is more important or more powerful than is a collection of the American citizens for whom our founding fathers developed the government that we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So if the American people stand up, we can throw them all out of office. We can reinstitute the constitutional republic. Is there going to be pain involved? Of course there is. But you can be a coward and run away and hope that the angry tiger is not going to find you when you have no place to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a coward and do that. But if we all come together incrementally, we have the ability to be the most powerful, peaceful, effective, results-oriented army that has ever been known in recorded history.
I completely agree with that, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to be part of that potential groundswell. And I'm really glad that you brought up the idea of cowardice, because it is issues like this that are so frightening, and it is because you're presented with an opportunity to make a choice. You have to choose to go forth and live in truth, or to decide whether, you know, to continue to live in a lie. And for most people, it's easier to continue to live in a lie than it is to say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do something about this. And I again, Greg, I just want to commend you for doing exactly that, for standing up. Will you give your website one more time for us today?
Sure. It is saveourfamilyandhome.com.
Yes, and I want to again encourage everyone to go to that website to get involved with this petition, especially if you are a veteran out there, if you have taken an oath to support this country and to stand up against tyranny. I mean, I don't know who else in the country we could really depend on right now other than our vets. Don't you agree, Greg?
Yes, I do. And I think that every American citizen must understand, even though they may not, I don't believe in segregation of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, even though you may not have ever been in the military, there is an implied oath to you.
Yes.
As Ben Franklin said when he walked out of the steps and the little lady said, "What kind of a government have you given us?" And Mr. Franklin responded, "Dear lady, we've given you a constitutional republic if you can keep it."
That's right. And Greg, I cannot thank you enough for being here today. We are out of time. Join us again tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
The Apple's iPhone 5S has been very successful in the US, but we realize that people here in India cannot afford the iPhone. That's why we've decided to work closely with the Apples to bring the iPhone experience to India. We call it the iPhone 5X. The iPhone 5X was built with advanced new hardware. The phone runs on the new Apple's A10 Snapdragon 7870HD 2-liter turbo Galaxy 29 GHz processor. Our advanced operating system features some of the best apps out there. We have classics such as Instant Gram, Samosa Crush Saga, World of Duty, Call of Warcraft, and Temple Run, in which you get to run from an actual mob of Hindu priests.
And to wrap it all up, we have 24/7 customer service lines in case you idiots need help with your new iPhones.
Hello, welcome to iPhone tech support. This is Ben Katesh.
Are you sure you're not one of those outsourced white people?